This is a WGNS Action Line, talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. Now, your host, Scott Walker.
In studio with us this morning, we have Senior Advisor to the Commissioner of the Department of Commerce and Insurance, Jim Tracy. That was a mouthful of a title.
It's a big title. I'm still trying to figure out what I'm supposed to do, Scott, but they usually keep me busy every day. Well, thanks for having me with you, Scott, and it's really a great opportunity to explain to people, really, with Department of Commerce, it's a huge department. Not only do we oversee all the insurance companies, one of the big things we do is train firefighters. Like we have the Fire Academy right over here at Bell Buckle that's close. We work with firefighters, the Fire Commission. We do all kinds of things with firefighting, and it's with the volunteers. I know over the last, since I've been working at the department, we give a lot of grants to fire departments for the gear. A lot of these volunteer fire departments hadn't had new gear for 25, 30 years. And so it's very important what we do with the firefighters across the state. And we traveled across the state a couple of years ago and met with a lot of different departments all the way across from east to west, finding out what they did, what their needs were, what kind of training they need. One of the big things I'll say across the state is we're looking for more volunteers, because some of these rural areas, volunteers is really all they got in the rural parts of the counties, and trying to get young people interested in firefighting and get them involved in volunteer. My son's a firefighter in Shelbyville full-time. He got his start as a volunteer.
And we also have with us, who's joining us by phone, Gary Farley, Assistant Commissioner to the Tennessee Department of Commerce and Insurance, but actually just retired. Gary, how are you this morning?
Scott, I'm doing great. Glad to be here this morning. I had to come to Pigeon Forge for something this past weekend, so I'm sorry not to be there.
Well, I understand. Now, Jim mentioned a lot of volunteer fire departments and grants that go out. I know we get a lot of press releases at the station about those grants. Those grants help out fire departments, what, all over Tennessee?
Yeah, I tell you what, it's been back in, I think it's 2019, it started out $500,000 and it went to $1 million. And once we got those two grants, I was able to go to the General Assembly and to the commissioner, and he went to the governor, and we proved that there was a need at that time. We could prove $13 million worth of turnout gear across the state. And then once I was able to prove that, the General Assembly and the governor come up with $10 million after that. And it was $5 million after that, and then there was $10 million. And then this year, and I think from what I understand, since I've left, there was $10 more million put into the budget for the grant program, which I'm proud to see that continue.
Now, years ago, we didn't see grants like that going out to volunteer fire departments, and really raising money locally was their main source of income.
You're exactly right. And I tell you, one thing that when Governor Lee came into office, he had an initiative of rural Tennessee, and he looked at that and saw the need and brought the need to the General Assembly. With both of them combined, they all pushed this and made it happen, and I'm proud to be able to have been a part of that.
And by the way, Scott, since Gary's on the line, glad you got him on the line. I was his co-pilot for about 2 years. We went all over the state, and we would issue these grants out to these volunteers, and it was so good to go into these areas. I mean, we would go to some very rural areas and help them particularly with their turnout gear. And you know, those of us that's been around firefighters, you got to have good turnout gear. It's a safety where you can fight fires and you know, so much that they do. So it was great to do that. We visited, I know Gary visited all 95 counties over a period of 4 years, and I know I went to most of them with him, and we took a group with us, and it was a lot of fun to meet them, but we also helped people.
You know, I can just imagine the looks on their faces when you were there to present them with grant money, because you had volunteer firefighters, some who were buying their own gear in the past.
Exactly. And, you know, they were doing fish fries, they were doing barbecues, they were doing anything to raise money for their local fire departments, just like we had them here in Rutherford County doing it. Kittrell, Las Casas was doing a lot. We're really, all our rural fire departments were having fundraisers, pancake breakfast. I went to most of them, Scott, just so you know.
They were good, too.
They were. They were.
Hey, Scott, I tell you, I'll kind of feed off what Jim just said. When we went to these places, I mean, it was like Christmas with a lot of these people. They would take me over and want me to put hands, like, you know, just, and I could touch the new turnout gear or the air pack that we helped them with, and you would not believe the feeling it would be to see this and to listen to these people. I mean, it's like Christmas to a lot of these people.
You know, for those who've lived in Rutherford County their entire life, they may not understand what some of these rural communities are like, but you're talking about some communities with a lack of jobs, and when there's no jobs, there's no money to afford for people to donate to these volunteer fire departments. So the state and the programs that were created through the state, they have really helped out in a major way.
Exactly. Exactly. And I tell you something else that the governor and the General Assembly did. One of my biggest visions when I took over as assistant commissioner was training for volunteers, because what I don't want to happen is a firefighter go down, get hurt, or not make it back to their family. And how you do that is through training. You know, the cities were paying for the career firefighters, which that was tremendous, but there was really no mechanism in place for a volunteer firefighter to get training except when it come out of their own pocket. And what we did before we left, and it's continuing, is free training for any volunteer firefighter to go through the academy, at the academy or regionally, or even in their own county. If they go through the Tennessee Fire and Codes Academy, it's free. Anything free.
Hey, Gary, before we let you go, since you're, you know, all over the country these days traveling, we've got something for you. Representative Sparks here, and I'm going to turn it over to Representative Mike Sparks.
Gary, how you doing?
Hey, Mike, I'm doing good. How you doing?
Well, we've been trying to get you in the studio. It's kind of hard to pull off all this logistically. And I got a state proclamation that says a resolution recognized Gary Farley on his retirement, whereas it is appropriate that we should honor those citizens who have performed with uncommon devotion and enthusiasm throughout their years of public service. Gary Farley is one such individual who recently took his much-deserved retirement as Assistant Commissioner of Fire Prevention after rendering 13 years of dedicated service as an employee of the state of Tennessee, whereas Mr. Farley came on board the state of Tennessee 2011 as Director of Fire Prevention Division, Electrical, Residential, and Mariner Inspections Section, overseeing the successful launch and completion of the state's first public marina inspection program. And whereas a longtime resident of Murfreesboro, Mr. Farley began his career as a firefighter of the city of Murfreesboro in 1984. Well, that's a long time ago. 1994, he was promoted Assistant Fire Chief of the city's Fire Rescue Department. And in 1998, he was promoted once again, this time to serve as Operations Chief. Whereas his service to his community also includes serving as Rutherford County Commissioner from 94 to 2014, as a member of Rutherford County Planning Commission 2006-2010. He currently serves as a Rutherford County Board of Zoning Appeals. Whereas Mr. Farley exemplifies the spirit and allegiance of family and community that are characteristic of a true Tennessean. Whereas throughout his years of service, Mr. Farley has demonstrated the utmost professionalism, ability, and integrity, winning the respect and admiration to the residents of Rutherford County and to this state. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the House of Representatives on this 113th General Assembly of the state of Tennessee, the Senate concurring that we extend to Gary Farley our heartfelt wishes for a happy and fulfilling retirement on every continued success in the future. Signed by Speaker of the House Cameron Sexton, Speaker of the Senate Randy McNally, and Governor Bill Lee, as well as our delegation. So congratulations, Gary.
Hey, Gary, just so you know, before you say anything, I had to go over and lobby the General Assembly really hard to get them to vote for you. They had a lot of questions, but we were able to push it over the line and get, you know, at least 17 votes in the Senate and 51 in the House. So it's official. You've got this, and I'll get it to you when you get back.
You know, I tell you what, Mike, it's an honor to have served the citizens of this state. It's an honor to have served the citizens of Rutherford County and Murfreesboro. I have made some great friends across this state. I've made great friends in the General Assembly, and I'm just truly honored. I mean, 40 years of my life has been through public service, and I've never regretted a minute of it. I've worked with some great people at Murfreesboro Fire, in Rutherford County, the state of Tennessee, and I'm truly humbled with this recognition. I mean, I'm up here. I didn't know what's coming up here for something last night, but the industry, one of the industries that I helped regulate, the Tennessee Housing Association, honored me last night with their President's Award. And I'm shocked, humbled. I'm a blessed man to have friends, and had the career that I've had. It's truly an honor, and I thank you all for this.
Again, talking with Gary Farley, Assistant Commissioner to the Tennessee Department of Commerce and Insurance, and retired. See, so that's recently retired, I should say.
Yeah, I was wondering how we'd pull this off. I know, Gary, you're busy, man. Got a few people in the studio. Let me start off with Public Safety Chairman, Rutherford County Commissioner Pettus Reed. Say a few words. Go ahead, Pettus.
Gary, you've done so much for Rutherford County. You left the commission in 2014. That's when I came on. And I guess I followed somewhat in some of your footsteps up there in dealing with public safety and doing some of those things. But I also watched you when you were on the commission and the many things that you did for your district and for Rutherford County. People around this county really appreciate the things you've been involved in, those you have helped. You continue to help the county there with BZA. You've always been responsive to the things that's needed within the county, doing the right things. You've always been there to take care of us. You know, I know they call this retirement. You are pretty much, I don't know if you retire, you just step from one thing to another, and I don't know what the next will be, but just for Rutherford County's sake, we'd like to say thank you for all the many things you've done.
Also with us today, we have Ken Honeycutt and Keith Bratcher. Ken, you worked Murfreesboro Fire, then Rutherford County for a lot of years.
Yeah, 34 years with the city, and when I retired, his brother Larry asked me to come over and kind of help him get his codes department started, and I did that, I think, for about 6 years. So that was very successful. But, you know, I knew when Gary got promoted to fire inspector for the city, I knew he was going to be a good one because he was outgoing. When something needed to be done, he would do that. You know, I never worried about what he was doing because I knew he was always doing the right thing. And we had a lot of funny stories along the way. But one of the biggest contributions in my mind is we had our fire prevention program, you know, in October during fire prevention week. And back in, I think it was like 86, I'd run across a gentleman from Cleveland, Tennessee. He was a fire marshal up there, and he had a little program, and we kind of copied that and fooled around there. And to start with, Chief Baxter was a clown for the show that we put on for the schools, and Chief Baxter did a great job. But when Gary come along, you know, when David left, I thought this is going to be hard to replace. Well, when Gary come along, no doubt he was the best clown.
You know,
and I mean that in a good way.
It sounds a lot of what has been done here in Rutherford County and then Gary throughout the state, I mean, it's laid the groundwork for really keeping a lot of people safe across the state.
Yeah, absolutely. We had the not only that, but we had the Project Safe, smoke alarms for everyone. He was a big asset to that. We had our fire inspector conference. All of the fire marshals across the state would come to Murfreesboro. He and I managed to get that here in Murfreesboro every year instead of traveling around the state. And that was a big boost to the economy here. When we had, most of the time, we had around 300 fire marshals in the town, in the city, and it worked out real well. But he was just a great asset to me. He helped me a lot, especially he jumped in on the fire investigations. He loved that better than he loved sleeping, I guess, because most time he was out doing his job, and I certainly appreciated that.
I know there's been a lot of fires over the years throughout the state, and of course we have 95 counties, as Jim Tracy mentioned, and it's a wide state to travel. I mean, it's a very long state, but there's been fires all over the place, and some of these volunteer fire departments out there, they've been the first on the scene to save whoever has lived there at the home where the fire may have been.
Yeah, absolutely. We was talking about the volunteers a while ago, and it's really difficult for them to operate. You know, they're trying to raise families, their employers now may not let them go when they need to go. And it's just become very difficult for them, and any help the state can do for them, it's a big asset.
Going back to Gary Farley, Gary, some of these communities that you would visit in these rural areas, kind of give us the setting of what some of those communities are like.
You know, I tell you, when I would go to the community and like talk to the county mayor, they would talk about the jobs that were coming in. And when it sticks in mind, they were talking about getting a McDonald's in their community about jobs. And I'm thinking, I've been blessed to live in Rutherford County most of my life, the biggest part of my life. When talking about jobs, you're talking about Pillsbury, Nissan, I mean, those type of jobs. And for the rural areas, they don't have that ability sometimes to get a McDonald's to come in and to create jobs. It made me be appreciative and be proud. A lot of these rural areas are just don't have the ability, or they're not close to an interstate or some other reason we have to get a job to come in. And I made it a point, because I love the fire service and I love making sure people are safe and you know, their home don't burn, or what to do, or the codes or whatever. And I just made a point to make sure that these rural areas were helped. And, you know, coming from Murfreesboro, we're blessed, but some of these people are not.
I'm sure you've had folks come to you and say, you know, with the equipment that we were able to get, it helped to save. And then they would go on to tell a story of somebody that maybe the jaws of life helped to save. Ken, I'm sure you have stories like that too, and there's probably a lot of them.
Well, there is. And Gary, if you don't mind, I might tell a couple of funny stories, if that's okay with you.
All right, be careful.
I promise I will. Well, when Gary got promoted to inspector, he was a young guy, and he was very, very enthusiastic about the job that was in front of him. So I get a call one day from him. He said, "Could you come over here at Rose's? I got a problem." I said, "All right, I'm on my way." So I go over there, and him and this elderly gentleman was out there having a heated conversation. And that man come to me. He said, "Does he work for you?" I said, "Yes, sir. He's one of my fire inspectors." He said, "Well, he just wrote me a parking ticket." He said, "I got a problem with that." I said, "Well, what's the problem?" He said, "Look over where he's parked." He parked in a handicap spot. I told that gentleman, I said, "You go ahead. We'll take care of this when we get back to the office." And then the next time he called me, he said, "Could you come over here at Kroger on Tennessee Boulevard?" I said, "Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I'll be there." So I go over, and he said, "I just wrote the city manager's wife a parking ticket." I said, "You did what?" I said, "Okay, we'll deal with that when it comes up." But we never got a call on it. And so anyway, it's just a couple of funny stories. And used to, when he'd go into Rose's over there, when they'd see him coming, they'd holler, "Code red, code red." And Gary would have to sprint to the back door to beat them around there, you know, make sure they didn't have their doors locked. So he was very enthusiastic about what he did, and he was just a huge asset to us.
Years ago, a younger Gary Farley, what were some of the duties that, you know, he would do every day, I guess?
Back then, it was only three of us. We had Fred Garbler. We had recruited him from the state. He was a fire inspector for the state, and Fred knew code books inside and out. Any question about that, he would educate me and Gary. But some of the things we did, like we was talking about the clown a while ago, and some of the costumes that we acquired to go out here and teach the kids that, you know, fire safety and public education, I thought was one of the top priorities for us. But we also investigated fires. We did new construction, anything built new in the city, we had to, you know, we had to sign off on that and do all the inspections on that. Plans review, you know, we fought a lot of fires, still working the day shifts. Every chance we get, we'd go out and participate in fighting fire too. So that kind of gets in your blood, and it's kind of hard to get out.
When you go in and inspect a home that may be burned or something like that, that's got to be tough at times, because sometimes there's a lost life there too.
It's extremely difficult, and Gary and I saw a lot of bad stuff. But you know, it's a unique job that somebody that really wants to do that, there's a lot of training that goes into that to learn how to do that proficiently. And he was very good at that. As a matter of fact, I think he and I did a few jobs on the weekend for insurance companies outside the state. So that was that's a unique characteristic of somebody that, that wants to get to the bottom of how this fire start.
Going back to Gary Farley, what is that like, that atmosphere where you're going in and you're doing an inspection where a house burned to the ground and there was a death? Because that family, I'm sure, wants some answers on figuring out what exactly happened, what sparked the fire. Is that situation a tough one to be in?
It is, because what you want to do as an investigator, you want to make sure that family gets all the answers that they want, because they want to know what happened to their loved one. And you want to make sure that you're right, because you don't, first of all, you don't want to accuse someone of doing something of an incendiary matter when they didn't, and then next thing you know, you've got some family member being accused of something. Or if it's an accidental fire, you want to make sure that that family knows that too, and also make sure that that it's an accidental fire that hopefully in the future you can prevent that from happening in the future through a code, through other mechanisms. And so it's the whole thing, in one word, it's a passion to make sure that you're protecting the public, every aspect of fire.
Keith Bratcher also with us today, and tell us a little bit about your background.
Earlier, y'all had mentioned, I'll say, hey, Gary, and I'm congratulations on your retirement from the state. Now, yeah, Gary, like you said, y'all had said earlier, he started his career at Murfreesboro in 84. I was just right behind Gary. I started my career at Murfreesboro in 85. We worked together Gary's whole career at Murfreesboro. I was on a different shift than him, but when Gary became a fire inspector, Gary, when I was on duty a lot of times, he would recruit me and some other folks, but me a lot. And we were talking about that earlier. We go to, back then, used to go out to the schools, and you know, he'd dress up as the clown, and a lot of times he'd recruit me. I'd dress up as the Sparky the Fire Dog, or we had the San Diego Chicken or Cookie Monster or whatever. But it was a lot of fun going out to these schools and putting on these programs. And then Gary, as our careers went on, you know, Gary become a assistant fire chief. He was over suppression, and I was a captain at a station. So over the years, Gary would, he always supported me as well as the other captains, but a lot of times Gary over the years would come by the fire station and we'd chit chat about things, how things were going, about how life, just life in general, you know. And and then of course on the flip side of that, you know, Gary was also a county commissioner. And I served on the Highway Commission and some other boards I was appointed to in the county. So we would correlate between that. So me and Gary have, over the years, you know, he's always been very supportive of me when I was at the fire department. And we've been real good friends and still are. Met him just a few weeks ago out eating. So, you know, just Gary's been a really good friend, a really good supporter at the fire department, and you know, all aspects, you know, we're just really good friends.
So with a start in fire back in 84 and then 85, you've seen a lot of major changes take place in Rutherford County for sure.
Absolutely. We all have, you know, me, Gary, and Ken here, you know, we started back when we started, you know, Murfreesboro Fire Department was fire based only then, so all we did was responded to fires. And of course, over the years, you know, like Ken said, you know, through education, you know, smoke detectors in every home and just different, you know, educating people, you know, made things better. Then in 2003, I think it was, when we went to medical. So that really changed things. Ken could probably attest this. In 2003, when we were fire-based only, our fire calls that for a year might have been, I don't know, maybe 1,800, 2,000 calls a year. If you looked at what they are today, including medical, I mean, it's probably 18 or 20,000.
Off the chart, yeah.
Oh, it's off the chart. So anyway, Murfreesboro has really grown a lot in the stations. And so anyway, we've all seen a lot of growth and things. And Gary, you know, being at the state level, you know, I was involved with our Firefighters Association. We used to go and see, you know, state legislatures. Jim Tracy was there, and they passed a lot of legislation that had to do with firefighters over the years, and we would go, and Mike as well, Mike Sparks as well, you know, we passed to help, you know, go and see them, and they've passed a lot of legislation that help firefighters in their jobs. And so, but getting back to Gary, he's just been a, you know, so he's been a lifelong friend ever since I've been at the fire department. Know all his family, knew all his family, his mother, his father, his son. Anyway, Gary's a great guy, great friend. I've done a lot of good things for Rutherford County.
Mike Sparks, did you want to?
Well, I was just going to say I don't go to many receptions at the state capitol, but the one that I go to is the firefighters reception. Mm-hmm. And one thing I appreciate you, Gary, always advocating for the mental health and trauma for firefighters, and a lot of folks don't realize. And I was surprised at this years ago, because as being conservative, I really, you know, really concerned about what we're spending, what we're investing, and make sure the returns on investments there. And one thing that Gary helped lead, and as well as Jim Tracy, was the the sessions, the mental health sessions for firefighters. Mm-hmm. A lot of folks don't realize that a firefighter is more likely to commit suicide and be killed in line of duty, and it's a serious issue. And Mr. Honeycutt, I don't know if you know this. This is the surprise I was going to give you. Is that there was one firefighter I talked to a few years ago, and it really kind of touched me. I asked the guy, I said, man, what do you do to kind of decompress? You know, what do you do just to kind of calm down after you see some of the trauma that you might see? Because these guys, Keith has shared some things with me that I wouldn't want to share on the radio. And it was some severe trauma, at least it would be for me, and I think most people. And your son, it's Ben, right?
Right.
Ben, I said, he's a young guy. How's he?
I think Ben's right around 40.
40 years old. And I guess at the time, he's probably 37. And I said, man, what do you do to kind of calm down and just decompress? He said, sometimes I call my mom. And that really touched me, because, you know, my mom passed a year and a half ago. And I remember, you know, calling my mother over successes I had or other things that was going on. And that really just touched me. But it's a serious issue. So, Gary, thank you for leading on that. Also, Larry had surgery. Your brother couldn't make it. Alan has already had a serious meeting he had to be with, I'm assuming with Secretary of State or something in Nashville, or at least you know, his leadership and some others on some things. So thank you, Gary. Just wanted to share that story about your son Ben Honeycutt there.
Thank you, Mike.
Now, one of the things that developed over the years was a full-time Rutherford County Fire Department. And I believe we went from just having volunteer fire departments throughout the county to then having a full fire department for Rutherford County. How did all of that get started? Pettis Reed is, Gary, who would like to go first on that one?
I can. This all developed over several years as we continue, and I think the gentlemen here were talking about how hard it is now to keep the number of volunteers that we have due to the fact that finding jobs in the rural areas where they can be there and be available to make those runs and to make those calls. What we were running into to get the number of volunteers that we needed in those communities, usually the fire had to occur on a Saturday or something like that when people were in the community to support those volunteer stations. And we also had areas that did not have volunteer stations. So we started looking at the possibility of having full-time stations within those areas, as well as combining not only a fire station but an ambulance station as well. We wanted to expand our ambulances in the outer areas and the rural areas. If you know anything about the traffic within the city of Murfreesboro, when you have an ambulance station located within the center of Murfreesboro, when they need to go to the rural areas, they got to go through this traffic, which extends the response time. So now we have those on the outer areas, which can get us to respond to those out distance areas in the county to help with that. So we started trying to develop some way of coming up with stations within the rural areas. There are six of them that are planned. They're somewhat, I always say, like a spider web around the county. They're strategically placed where we can make those runs, and they are working. We already have three that are open right now, Rockvale, Kittrell, and Las Casas, and we're seeing tremendous runs out of those. There's also a office there for our sheriff's department as well, where those departments will become a strategic place if a catastrophe happens in those areas or a lost child happens or whatever. We have superior communications located in all of those. There's also a tornado shelter. In the past tornadoes we've had anywhere from 50 to 60 people show up to go into those tornado shelters and be there where they have no place at home to go either. So they have become vital parts. I know WGNS has made those announcements for us that these tornado shelters are available. It's also going to become a rural health department location, not only as a daily or something like that, but when special things happen. I know Kittrell, we've had free flu shots there back in the fall. So we're going to be using those for different things of that type. So that's how these all develop, is a area for individuals within our outlying rural areas to have the same benefits that you might would have within the city, but to have them also in the rural areas. And if you'll notice, they have become located in communities that were once major communities in the county. Kittrell, Las Casas, Rockvale. We're in the process of almost finishing the one in Walter Hill. We will soon have one out in Plainview. We already have the ground out there for that, which is Christiana. Then we'll be doing one now towards Amelville. We're looking at one at Dale Webb on property out there. They're donating property for us to build one there. So that's how they all began. That also gives us full-time staff that's there where we can shorten those runs, help those people out, and we're already seeing that happen.
Again, that's County Commissioner Pettis Reed. And then going back to Gary Farley, who is recently retired as the Assistant Commissioner for the Tennessee Department of Commerce and Insurance. Gary, have you seen a lot of other counties turn their volunteer crews into full-time fire departments over the years?
Yeah, I sure have. Matter of fact, in my endeavors across the state, I would get questions about, you know, how did we do this? And back when I was chairman of public safety, when I was on the county commission, that's when we got the Barfield station and we started paying firefighters back then. And we had kind of a hybrid system. Then we contracted with volunteers. And actually, what I've done, when I get asked that question, I told them, I said, best thing I can do for you is put you in touch, and what I'll do is I'll put him in touch with Larry, you know, my brother, and with Rutherford County Fire. And that way, and he has sat down with Hamilton County and other counties across the state and kind of give them the footprint of what we did years ago. And I'm proud to say today that Pettis and the county commission and the county mayor and all, Rutherford County Fire has one of the top fire departments in the state of Tennessee. I hear that. And so what I do is I just push them to Larry, and Larry can educate them on how they did it, how Rutherford County has done it. And I get feedback from those people. Matter of fact, the Hamilton County guys very much appreciated what the information they got. And I think Hamilton County is going to follow suit, just like some other counties have done across the state when it comes to implementing that.
Again, with us today, we have Gary Farley, who is now retired as the Assistant Commissioner for the Tennessee Department of Commerce and Insurance, and then Rutherford County Commissioner Pettis Reed, and also joining us today, State Representative Mike Sparks of Smyrna, and then also we have now Ken Honeycutt. Are you and both Keith Branch retired? Both retired now. But I'm seeing a pattern here. A lot of those who work in fire, they, after retirement, they're still working.
Well, I did that for like 6 years after I left Murfreesboro. I worked over there with Chief Farley at Rutherford, and we did a lot of good things over there. I'm proud of what he's done and proud of Gary. Congratulations on your retirement, man. You deserve it.
Thank you.
And then going back to Mike Sparks, we're pretty much out of time already, but if you would kind of wrap it up. And again, in closing, The proclamation, tell us how you went about getting that approved and how does that work?
Well, you know, I was wanting to kind of surprise them on the House floor or something. It's just sometimes it's just hard to pull things off logistically with so much going on. But, you know, I just appreciate Gary and, you know, and his heart for public safety. I always remember your mom. I don't know if Gary remembers this at Las Casas Fire Hall. And Gary and I would butt heads a lot and debate a lot and argue back and forth. But one thing that we didn't argue about is fire safety. And he was always compassionate. But I always remember Gary's mom. I don't know if he remembers this. And his late mother, I spoke up for his brother because I thought Larry had paid his dues as a volunteer and deserved the position. And when I stood up on the county commission floor, I think they thought it was going to be critical. And I just said he deserved it. His mother, Gary's late mother, was like, "I'm going to hug your neck." I was at Last Gas Fire Hall. And I always thought that was really, because it scared me at first. I didn't know who it was at first, you know. But Gary, I appreciate you, man. And I, you know, just on your retirement, a lot of people have a lot of respect for you. Your heart's in the right place, and just wish you well and much Godspeed in your new endeavor, sir.
Well, Mike, I appreciate it. And I tell you this, something funny. I know we're out of time, but Mike and I are both passionate about what we believe in. And when we get on the commission floor and we would debate each other and we were passionate about what we believed in, at the end of the day, we could sit down, we could have a meal, we could talk and work things out and still be friends. And I, you know, and today some of that don't happen anymore. But I tell you what, with Mike, we did it. Politically, we did it, and we sat down and disagreed, but at the end of the day, we're still friends. And I'm going to tell you something. Guys, thank you all for this. I'm shocked. I'm surprised. I love all y'all. I'm a blessed man, and thank you all.
Thank everybody for joining us this morning, and that's going to do it. We are already out of time, and that time right now, 8:58. Stay with us. We do have news coming your way next.